I found recently, I've been using a slide at the end of lectures, which was a phrase from 68, Eldridge Cleaver. If you're not prepared to be part of the answer, you're merely part of the problem. And I actually think, and I've been saying to people, I think it's more true now than it was in 1968 when it was coined. I spent 18 years in Parliament. It is absolutely dislocated. It has its own sense of realities, its own sense of what's important, its own sense. It is, to a frightening degree, dislocated from what's going on in the rest of the world. I think that the generation I just talked about, my granddaughter's generation, are smart. I think they don't really know it, but they are screaming for authenticity. And what stuns me is that most politicians don't really understand the power of authenticity.
Lord David Putnam, it was lovely to have you on Meet the Renegades. As you know, we always speak to people who think differently. And we often talk to them about three pillars that we uphold, which depict what we're trying to do. Those three pillars are inform, illuminate, and inspire. One of my questions would be, where do you go to be informed? Where do you go and graze?
I was a very poor student at school, except in history. I really loved history. I had a very, very good history mistress, a woman called Miss Kirkpatrick. And I owe her a lot, really, in hindsight. I read a lot, and I'm mostly 97% of my reading is nonfiction, and always has been. And I think that's where I graze. I graze in books, and I try and look for the reader crosses, you know, in between, not just in between books, but in between what's going on now. And one of the disappointments to me is how few of the politicians and politically, or sometimes quite well informed political people I come across, understand their history and understand that they are, in many cases, just playing out the same scenario that was played out 10 or 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and making exactly the same mistakes.
Which makes Shakespeare so relevant to them.
Which makes Shakespeare so relevant. But at the moment, what's going on with the SNP in Britain has such extraordinary echoes of what went on in 1910 with the Sinn Féin and the Irish.
Are you surprised by human beings' inability to learn?
Yes. Surprised and disappointed.
When you are looking to be illuminated, where do you go?
To the movies. I didn't become a film producer because it was a kind of career decision. I became a film producer because I'd done very well in advertising and really sat down one day and said, well, what I really, really love is the movies. So it was the late 60s, and I decided, knowing nothing, to take a shot at it.
And as somebody who's factually based, or who loves history and loves facts so much, is it the escapism?
Partly that. I think it's more interesting when you look at it as an issue of identity. You identify with both people, circumstances, and you kind of work through for yourself what you might have done, or how your qualities, your fears, your sense of courage, how they will match up to what you see on the screen. And from time to time, not all the time, there are important movies in your life which remind you either of who you are or who you wish to be.
When you are looking, then we've touched on inform and illuminate. When you're looking to be inspired, and I think you've just touched on it there, about who you want to be, where do you go for inspiration?
I watch quite a lot of sport. I like sport a lot. And I find sport can be inspiring. It can be inspiring in all sorts of interesting ways. I just loved the recent ODI series with the New Zealanders. More than anything else, I loved it for its sense of camaraderie and sportsmanship. There's a interview on TED at the moment with the guy who was the coach of the most famous ever UCLA basketball team, and he's now very, very elderly. And he says that one of the things he used to encourage his players to do was, irrespective of whether they won or lost, he said, an objective observer who didn't know the result ought not to be able to tell from your body language whether you just won or lost. And I felt that Brendan McCullum and his New Zealand team actually had that in spades, and that made it almost twice as gripping to me.
Would I be right in saying, when we look at the films that you've produced, you're interested in protagonists who've made a decision and then stood by that decision in the face of all adversity?
Yes.
Why?
You have to go right back. I was born in 1941. My dad, I know he'd found this out reasonably, fairly recently. My father was one of only two people who were sent back at Dunkirk to be evacuated twice. And interestingly enough, I was born exactly 9 months after my dad got back from the second his second occasion in Dunkirk. I then didn't meet him until I was 5 years old because he was away again in the war. And this guy re-emerged into my life as this extraordinary heroic figure. And he wasn't just heroic because of what I felt he'd done, because he was the only person, for example, in our street that had been in the army. He was the only person that had been in uniform. But he also came back with a sort of extraordinary inner wisdom. He didn't ever talk about what had happened during the war. What he developed was an extraordinary ability to redefine issues as what was fair and what was unfair. So the word my dad used most often was, "That's not quite fair," or, "I think this is fair." And I'd like to think I kind of took that one.